This episode of East Meets West is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code EAST. Welcome to East Meets West, episode 202. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And we are up in the Twit Cottage with Leo Laporte. Welcome, Leo.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for giving me a job.
Well, you cool. weren't even out of work. That's pretty amazing.
I know. Huh? Now I got two.
Yeah, you got two jobs.
Start collecting them.
Collect all seven.
Yeah, if you haven't heard, I'll be starting June 1st as a full-time member of the Twit Network. I'm very excited.
Yeah,
looking forward to it.
We're really happy to have you. It's exciting for us.
Oh, wait, we're on episode 203.
203. Did I say 202?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at 202. That's why. Yes, episode 203.
Well, that's okay, because I'm on Godfinger episode 4.
Yeah, how is your Godfinger game going?
It's good, except I accidentally drowned some villagers.
You didn't drown me, did you?
Let me see where Ace Detect is. You can name your followers without... See, there's Veronica.
Yeah, I see her.
Early sound. You can name your followers without Bernie Goober. I don't even know who he is. Without permission. There you are. Look at you.
Yeah, anybody who's a friend.
Look at you. You got blonde hair.
Look, it looks just
and a
like me.
Blonde mustache.
I actually, I'm not, that one's not as pale as me. But I have a little halo over my head.
I don't know where that camera is. How about that one?
Yeah, there I am. I'm over there on the side.
This is you. Yeah. This is you right there.
Hanging out.
John, yeah, there you go. That's him. He's wandering, actually. You look like a 70s porn star. Long blonde hair.
That's the way I looked in the 70s as a 6-year-old.
Yeah.
It's very much the, white gold.
Yes, that's right, the milk guy.
But notice he's got a halo. That means somebody's enchanted you.
So, Leo, obviously, because he can't stop playing it,
hooked
on these kind of games. Rod, do you get into these kind of games, these Farmville-ish kind of games?
No, where? I have not.
You sound kind of hostile about it.
Yes,
it's mainly because there are people at work who do play Farmville when they should be working.
I would be hostile if somebody were supposed to be doing a show.
That's pretty much my only experience with it is a time sink for employees when they should be working. Got time to lean, you got time to clean.
God, I'm glad I didn't take a job with you.
I just read an interesting article about Farmville and how it works. It's even though it's not a fun game, it's kind of exactly what you don't want to be a game to be, which is like social responsibility and having to do something and clicking a bunch of... But it's the social obligation that Zynga has built with the other players that makes you play it. You can't not play it because, you know, people, I stopped playing and I felt guilty. Like my mom, well, who's going to take care of her farm?
Yeah, who you feel bad.
You feel bad.
Because you're intertwined with all these other people. You know, Warcraft has a little bit of that
it
too.
It does.
Like when you're leveling, you can do it solo. But then when you get to the end game, there's people who are like counting on you to go do raids. And you know, they make bags for you, for your character. And so you feel like you should make stuff for them. And it's real life dynamics bleeding into the game.
This speech really was bemoaning it, saying, you know, we're at the mercy of Zynga. Zynga's totally manipulating us.
Well, any of these kind of games are manipulating, and because if you can make people want to play it more, then you build loyalty, right. And then you can sell them Mojo.
Well,
or
they don't
whatever
make any money. In fact, these games are free. They only make money because you buy more stuff.
Yeah, can you buy more stuff in the Godfinger game as well? Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a store. All of these, the model is the same. It's free to play. But then if you want to customize your thing significantly, or you want to have, you know, that cool little item, you actually have to spend real money on it. And that's really kind of sick.
Not going to do that.
Not going to do it.
Nope.
It's not as fun.
You know, it's kind of like WoW. If WoW was subscription-based only, you didn't have to pay for the game, I'd probably do it. But you have to pay for the game, and then you got to...
That's kind of annoying, isn't it?
So it's... You know, it's one of those things where I feel that if I'm spending more money than I should need to enjoy something, then I probably won't enjoy it because it's always going to be in the back of my mind.
Now, people start to pick on gamers, you know, especially people who play lots of Warcraft, saying like, oh, you're just wasting your life. Go outside, read a book. Those are, you know, those are all the stereotypical things that folks say. But then it's no different than sitting on the couch. And in fact, it's better in some cases than sitting on the couch watching television.
At least you're doing something, you're thinking.
Or if you go out and play football, let's say, you're not producing anything. Maybe you're getting some exercise and health out of it a little more. But, you know, it's not like you're bettering society by playing baseball.
I talked to
How do you know? Maybe you influence that one child that goes on to become, you know, a very prestigious politician because they remember the time when the big oafish guy gave him a chance to play on the softball league.
But maybe that would happen in Warcraft too, where you're part of a raiding guild and you have one person who says, "Hey, you're really good at this," and takes you under their wing and builds your confidence, and that allows you. You know, I mean, you can say the same thing.
Joy Ito says this is where he has his business meetings, is in World of Warcraft. He says it's the new golf.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yes, it is. It's incredibly
sad. Golf is a great example. Like, why is golf
just
so much
stupid?
No, like, you know?
I actually never understood why you needed to play golf to have an important business discussion. Why couldn't it be something like, I can see the power lunch, the dinner, or even the breakfast because, you know, you're eating. You know, you're doing something you're going to do anyway, and you're just incorporating that into a larger meeting session. Golf? I mean, I don't even, you know, I've known people who've learned to play golf so they could do these types of meetings that they don't even like the game. It's like, yeah, you know, my uncle used to have a big sack of golf clubs in the closet. It would only take him out because he had to go play with a bunch of guys that he wanted to work a deal with. And that was it.
Would you rather do? Would you rather go into a faceless corporate conference room and sit around staring at blank walls and meet? Or would you like to be out on, you know, in a green park walking around?
Let's face it. Business sucks your soul dry no matter what.
Strip clubs.
That's the solution.
That has been a solution. It's become less acceptable these days, right? But
it's less acceptable to talk about it, but you can still do it. Just call it a gentleman's club.
Yeah, but then it becomes a sexism and harassment issue, right? Where you don't have that as much on the golf course, although you do have it.
Really?
Yeah, sure. Because golf clubs used to exclude women.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and minorities.
And Jews. Yeah,
absolutely.
And people who couldn't play.
That's one thing you can say about video games. Anybody can play them
anymore. I've never been in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
There's no tradition of exclusion.
You got the $14.99, baby. You could play.
And in fact, that's really what I hate about video games is a bunch of 14-year-olds are
teabagging. Hold on, before we go on the raid, let me pull up the PowerPoint presentation, and then you can kind of do it in. Actually, that's it. That could be a new business for
Go to meeting World of Warcraft edition.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to Warcraft.
You would go to a special area, business area, and you could pull up PowerPoints.
I kind of like
and
that.
And you could talk and trade information.
Isn't that kind of happening in Second Life?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not a big... Do you play Second Life?
I did, until I found all the people in nude suits.
Yeah? Nude suits? What are nude suits? Wait, isn't that a contradiction in terms?
Well, you can... Okay, in Second Life, you have clothes on, but you can buy clothing.
Uh-huh.
So people made clothing that looks like you're naked. So that you can... And then half... I think probably 3/4 of Second Life by now. I don't know. I haven't been in there in a while. Mostly because my name is Pruneface Spatula, and I find it humiliating to go in there.
Why is that your name?
I don't know.
But you picked it.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. They give you a choice of last names.
Okay.
And Spatula was the...
That was pretty good. So, I would might have picked that, too.
Yeah. Once you got Spatula, you know, almost anything... anyway, but I think probably 3/4 of this... I don't know, and I apologize to anybody who's in Second Life... And this is not the case, but I think a lot of it's adult.
Yeah, there's a big adult part of it, but that doesn't mean that's all that's going on. I hear a lot of people talking about organizations that have, but there's
not
all these
anymore.
Wastelands too,
right?
Where companies came in and built headquarters and areas, and it's just tumbleweeds blowing through now, or virtual tumbleweeds.
Did somebody design a tumbleweed?
I don't know. They should though, if they haven't yet.
That'd be funny. Basically, a crash property market in Second Life.
Well, maybe. Who remember there was that woman who said she was a millionaire, a Second Life millionaire, like real money,
out of Linden, like
of
converted
Linden
the Linden dollars into real dollars.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where's she now?
I don't know. Last I heard of her, she got griefed by a bunch of flying penises in Second Life, of course, not in real life.
For real? Like that?
Yeah,
that actually happened. No kidding.
Yeah,
it's not at all sexist.
That's the way the flying penis bounces.
I don't know if
or
they
flies.
Bounce. I don't know. That's an interesting experiment, a thought experiment. Of
so
course.
there was MMORPGs like EVE Online, right? And then we move into what was there.com before
there, yeah,
there was
there?
Before Second Life, I think.
And there are there's still like I think a there engine around that you can use. I'm pretty sure.
I heard about one of these shutting down recently, but I can't remember whether it was there or not.
I at the time it was very fast. Remember,
here nor
Reuters
there.
Had a bureau in Second yeah, Life, and yeah. there was an embassy or a consulate, like the Norwegian consulate. It was very faddish, and even at the time, I thought, this is not the metaverse. People think it's
not
the metaverse,
yet.
But it's not the metaverse. Yeah. Not
I think that will still happen, though.
Oh, I would live in it. Look what we're doing with things
you
like
mean, you mean Second
Farmville.
Life or just something like Second Life?
Maybe it won't be Second Life, but there will be a metaverse.
It has to be more realistic.
We're getting closer and closer all
more
the time.
And
either
be,
Second Life will redo itself to become that, or somebody else will come along from scratch. Probably need to build it from scratch to make it work.
It needs to be more compelling across a broad range of people, I think.
Is it just more realistic, or do you need more than just more realism?
I think you need more than just you need a reason that for people to come. I mean, a bar is realistic, but unless you got, you know, good beer on tap and
right.
you know, good crowd, it's, you know, it's like the one up the block for me, it's empty.
And they actually have real liquor instead of, you know, virtual liquor. So
well, Sims Online tried to be that. The
Who
thing
wants
where
to
you
go to a
where
bar
you go,
where,
where you go online and but there was a game to it, right?
Right.
And it didn't work.
No, because, I mean, come on. I want a drink. I want a real bar.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, here I am still playing Godfinger, so I don't
know. Well, someone brought up, Funderful brought up Caprica, and or actually Web 2312.
Yeah, that's very metaverse-y, right?
And that is because it's essentially a simulation of everything that people would want to do in real life, but can't. Because of things like laws against murder and killing and mayhem. And the fact that death generally in real life is pretty permanent. But in like Caprica, the game, you can get kicked out of a zone, but you don't necessarily, you know, die. You just can't come back. You're exiled.
Yeah.
So,
you died in that zone, but not in the entire virtual universe.
And, you know, it's a place where they can experience a lot of the things they would do in a much more, real, not just realistic, but in a lot more, you know, a passionate mode where you can do things that you couldn't get away with in normal polite society. Kind of a release valve.
Nets Prinzip in the chat room has a really interesting username, first of all, but a really interesting point. Virtual reality is not the future. Augmented reality is. So is this more of a Daniel Suarez thing where
Maybe.
Instead of actually Maybe. Existing in a metaverse, the metaverse blends in with the real verse, and we see people's levels and tags over their heads.
I was actually thinking of rebranding Twit to Darknet.
Yeah?
Wouldn't that be a good name for a network?
Oh, yeah.
Should we just call it Darknet? Then I was trying to think, what would Dark stand for?
What will Daniel Suarez
distributed?
Think?
You'd be honored.
You think?
Probably. Freedom TM? Darknet TM?
Distributed
what if it's analog?
Area...
Augmented reality.
Right.
Distributed augmented reality knowledge base.
Or C, you could make it C, so you could, you know, community.
Oh, C, D-A-R-C net. And now people
yeah,
think
you
got to
be careful with that.
D-A-R-C net. Welcome to D-A-R-C net. Yeah, I don't know.
Then you
don't
definitely
know.
Would
Something
have
to be a problem there. I don't know what, but...
Yeah, so I mean, but is the
that's good. I like that. Augmented reality.
Is the augmented reality the doorway into that immersive
I think that's
reality?
A, that's good.
Where you can live in both, where you can have that real beer while you're at the, you know.
Well, that's that Google Goggles thing. I mean, imagine if you had Google Goggles built into a heads-up display so that as you walked around, it said, oh, that's Tom Merritt. His wife's name is Eileen. He's got, you know, two children in Peoria, and he grew up in, you know, Illinois. I mean, that, oh, I'm
she
sorry.
Doesn't
she doesn't
that.
Know about that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And she's laughing. Good.
She found
she
out.
Didn't buy it.
She's like, oh, I knew about those long ago. He thinks he hid them from.
I think that would be cool, you know. I want that much anyway.
Yeah, and then you could meet a friend who's in New York while you're in London at a bar for a drink, and you'd both...
They'd be standing there.
Yeah, right?
Like Matthew
or
Sobel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think there's something... There has to be a way because... Traditionally, when you meet someone face to face, there are certain visual and you know other cues that you give someone that you that you kind of lose when you're just doing kind of a face to face.
Really,
you know, via Skype.
If you're doing a good capture, like a really high quality capture, wouldn't you get all those nonverbal cues and everything would be transmitted? You just wouldn't get the smell.
You could, well, there's been many attempts to bring that along to the internet, too.
I don't think that's a negative.
Yeah, that may not be something we want. Well, for now, we're going to have to settle for blogs. And one way to make your own blog is Squarespace.com.
Yeah, no wonder I hired this guy.
To publish a high-quality website or blog. This is good stuff. Squarespace.com is what we use for ForecastPodcast.com. It's an easy-to-use UI for creating and managing a website or blog, optimized for beginners and CSS experts. I think this is one of the coolest things about this, is that you don't have to know nothing to start your blog. Or if you're like, wait a minute, I'm not going to use that because I'm Mr. CSS, and you can do that too. You can go in and tweak it. They give you all kinds of modules. You can import and export. They let you take it with you if you want to take it back to WordPress later. If you want to try it, no risk. Move it in from WordPress, Blogger, Movable Type, and TypePad. All kinds of other permission access handling, cloud architecture for speed and site stability. Just try it out for free. Go to squarespace.com. You don't need a credit card. Build out your website. Import it in, see how it looks. If you decide to keep it, you get 10% off when you enter the offer code EAST.
EAST.
So, did you go to any tea parties, Roger?
Tea parties?
You know,
no,
we had Tax Day on April 15th. That was the whole pinnacle of the tea party movement.
Yes, I actually I pay taxes, but I am getting money back, so I did my taxes.
You actually did your taxes. I thought you were advocating on East Meets West at one point not paying your taxes.
No, I've never said that.
Or not taking... No, you were saying not taking deductions.
Yes.
What?
Yes,
did you take any deductions this year?
Why would you not take
deductions? No, I didn't say not take deductions. I said that for certain individuals who clamor about the lack of money for social services, just say, well, don't take deductions, and then there'll be more money floating around in the tax pool. Yeah, I took deductions.
Yeah, why don't you pay extra tax? Then there'll be more money floating around in the tax pool.
Why not?
If you believe in big government, that's what Roger says. Yes.
Who believes in big government?
Well, that, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and this is one.
Were you
in
the shower?
I always think of good stuff in the shower too.
I wasn't in the shower.
Is that you? Do you
point.
Do that?
Every so often.
Think I've got a theory on that.
What's the theory?
Blood vessels stimulated by the warmth.
They
blood
expand
flows.
And
yeah.
You get bigger.
My best thoughts come in the hot tub after working out because I got my blood pumping. Uh-huh. Your brain's oxygenated.
There might be something to that.
Oh, there's definitely something to that. I've observed this for a long time. In fact, if I want to come up with a good idea, like I'm trying to think of a show or something, I'll actually do that. I'll work out and then I'll get in the hot tub or a shower. Always have the best ideas.
Is there a Twit hot tub?
Oh, you didn't know about that? It's in Peoria.
I have no idea.
Your children.
No, I think
we could put one out here.
I think that's brilliant though, right?
It makes
I know there's
sense.
A shower upstairs.
There's a shower. There's actually a clawfoot tub.
Yeah.
It could be hot.
Yeah.
What if you got one of those hair dryers, the ones that you fit over your head? They made them in the
80s. Yeah, like the old-fashioned salon.
Shower caps.
Yeah.
And
that's
then you can call
idea.
It like a brain activator.
Do not
like a
bother me. I'm thinking
salon.
Big thoughts.
It's the new brain gym.
Brain
they
gym.
Serve you smart drinks, and they heat your head.
I love it. Head heater. There's definitely something there. Guys, you're missing out. This is brilliant.
Yeah. I think.
All right.
Who wants to invest? I think we're on to something. When I had my head in the dryer the other day, I was thinking.
And by the way, it wasn't a hair dryer; it was a clothes dryer.
A clothes dryer. I had to keep the door really close so it would continue to move. No, I was thinking about this sort of like we always hear libertarians like yourself, Roger. You know,
is he a libertarian?
You self-identify that way, don't you?
Interesting.
Or am I labeling you? I think.
Well,
I'm.
Yeah, you know, I'm on the political spectrum, I'm closest to a libertarian.
Okay, fair enough. So, you know, railing against big government. We don't want big government because, you know, we want to have the freedoms to do as much as we want to do, limit the government. Weak government is best.
I find that people who are against big government really aren't against big government. They're just against some forms of government being big, and then it's big when it's something they care about.
Well, that tends to be true.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking about is what's the difference, and why are we okay with big corporation then?
Oh,
where, you know, I was thinking about the title CEO and how that, I heard this really interesting economist podcast explaining that CEO came into vogue in the 50s in America. Because up to then, it was either president or managing director.
Right.
And they wanted to have a title that showed off the power
of the
one single absolutist
officer.
Monarch who ran the company, which isn't the way they ran companies in a lot of other countries.
Right.
Why is it that we, especially in the U.S., we fetishize this like absolutist monarch in company situations that can dictate, you know, is basically a dictator over everything. Companies are not democracies, but yet we want a democracy with a limited government. I'm not saying that there isn't a reason, but what is that reason? Why do we say, oh yeah, dictatorships are great for the companies, but all these dictators should be free to compete?
I've got a similar paradox we can tie into that and then solve. Jeff Jarvis was talking about this on Twig yesterday. He said in Europe, where they have a history of really bad governments, they trust the government and hate corporations. And the U.S., where we have 200 years of really pretty well-done government, we hate government and we trust corporations who have a terrible history of rapaciousness.
So you need to hate something to keep it honest.
Maybe that's it.
It's kind of weird because in Europe, for a long time, a lot of the larger companies were family owned. They were like Porsche and, you know, they were all kept within the family. And, you know, someone once told me one reason why Europeans are more confident in larger government than people is because they don't really trust their fellow citizen to do the right thing. That there was a trust issue with, you know, the person you lived with in the same city and making the right decision. So you erred on having a more powerful central government in order to ensure, yeah, you might miss out on a few things, but at least, you know, what's done for the group well-being will be taken into account. Now, this is not, you know, I'm not saying this is true or not, but I think there is something there. Whereas in the U.S., there's always been a history of rebellion. That's how you got things done. Whether it was something that was very visceral, very in your face, like the American Revolution, the Civil War, where you actually went at it with firearms, or the Civil Rights Movement, where you went against the grain, where you made the noise, you kind of put up a fuss, you started a fight in order to get things moved along.
So why don't we have revolutions and rebellions within well, I guess we do. We have unions, right?
You also have, depending on how the company structure.
Corporate takeovers, mergers, there's all sorts of examples of that.
Shenanigans.
But usually within the company, it's all about controlling and repressing the employee, right? The employee is
maximizing profits. Yeah. My problem with corporations is that they're inherently amoral. They're designed to be amoral.
Right. Yeah.
They're designed to be a fiduciary trust for the shareholders or stakeholders, and to maximize profits and nothing else. And it comes from the ideology of the free market, which we really buy into in this country. And I think that's really what it comes down to. Europeans don't trust a free market, and we do.
It's
interesting. A lot of what Europe made its money on was basically exploiting markets.
Right.
Right. I mean, the East India Company was a private company, and the wars that Britain fought in India and overseas were mainly what we call today PMCs, private military contractors, mercenaries. They paid people from the company bankroll to do their fighting for them. Right. And it's I don't know, it seems so hypocritical, because that's essentially where a good chunk of Europe's wealth, whether it was from South America, whether it was from Africa, South Asia, East Asia, I mean, that's where the money flowed from. So, you know, it's all, you know, people look back on it, they kind of tend to have a very kind of a haloed, you know, very nice, warm, fuzzy feeling of, well, those were the days when, you know, the sun never set on the British Empire. It was a good days.
It was rapacious.
So, you know.
Read Howard Zinn's People as a History of the United States, and you'll just get a real sense of how those particular institutions drove just rapacious imperialism. And I think we're still suffering from the imperialism of the British Empire. Look at Palestine. Look at Africa. The places that in this world that are most war-torn and most troubled are the former victims of British imperialism.
And in fact, in the United States, one of the reasons we have fewer of those problems is because all of the native populations died.
We killed them. That was easier.
With either in wars or disease.
Yeah. And the Spanish very actively killed them. That was the best way to deal with the Indian problems, just to get rid of them.
I don't think we've ever had a free market, a truly free market that people talk about. It seems like every time you look at a market, there's government intervention.
Well, it's kind of idealized.
Even in these old rapacious East India companies, they were approved by the governments, by the monarchs. Not anybody could start one of those companies.
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, that was one of my points is there's no, I don't think there's really a truly free market in the global sense, because all governments have a stake in it in some way, whether through treaties, tariffs, taxes, government loans. I mean, these are all things that distort whether or not a company can and will be successful. Airbus is a prime example. Airbus is a consolidation of pretty much all of Western Europe's aerospace industries, and most of the work is divvied up via political avenues. I mean, you know, Spain gets to build certain portions of the plane. France gets to do that. UK gets the engines.
It's kind of surprising that Airbus does as well as it does in that environment compared to Boeing, which is, you know, purely capitalist. Beating Boeing for a lot of contracts.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I think Tom's right. There really is no such thing in the truest sense of the word, a free market currently, because there are so many vested political interests in having things, you know, like we don't want our jobs outsourced overseas to India. You know, we want to keep them here. So we're going to give, you know, company A a little bit more money, even though it'd be cheaper to do it.
What if there were a truly free market? I think the internet, for instance, is a very good example of a much more friction-free market.
Yeah, there are microcosms of free markets.
Would it be all positive, or are there negatives to a free market as well?
Well, there's obviously negatives in free commentary, right? Anonymity provides people, you know, the opportunities to say things that they would never say.
I would also say that
a free market rewards
a certain kind of behavior, but I think Adam Smith's invisible hand does not always push you towards the common weal. It pushes you towards maximizing profits, but there are cases, I think the insurance industry is a very good example, where maximizing profits doesn't necessarily maximize medical
that's the point. Right. How do you define the common weal? I mean,
well, the common weal in the corporate terms is maximizing profits. The shareholders, the stakeholders make the most possible amount of money. Of course, that's what Adam Smith said, is if you do that, somehow magically everything works out.
Right. That maximizing profit is maximizing quality of life.
Right. And it is in many cases. And I can see why we have that dogma. It does work. But I think that untrammeled free markets are not necessarily a panacea.
I think one of the problems is corporation versus company. We keep using the word company. Yeah. And that's an older term because it's a company of people coming together in an effort. But what we have is corporations where we have these sort of vast...
Faceless
businesses that are treated as people,
right,
in certain ways, but not in others.
A
corporation can't be a murderer,
right?
But a corporation, in ways that are beneficial to it, is a person no one is in fact responsible for.
Isn't that the message of the Suarez books? Is that a corporation is inherently immoral, not just amoral?
Yeah, that is one of the underlying metaphor is the right word, but
subtext, certainly.
Yeah, definitely. How's your world doing there?
It's doing very well. You know,
you haven't
it's been
had
really
an uprising,
great.
Right?
No, it's been very good to have this time where I could really focus on my Godfinger because everything's going quite well.
That's my title. Focus on my Godfinger.
They're building. There's little Tom Merritt. He's working very hard in a corporation, in a group. It's more like
a company. Yeah, right.
Company of fellows. It's quite nice.
I think so.
But now my farm is neglected, so I probably should go visit my farm.
Well, we probably all need to go visit our farms. Roger, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No. Do see Kick-Ass, though.
Really? I'm going to go see it if you liked it that much.
Don't bring... Well,
I don't know the canon. Is that okay if you haven't read the books?
Yeah, it's fine. It's just... It's not a kids' movie, so do not bring any kids because it's very violent and a lot of swearing.
Wait a minute. I have to ask you this. Did you like Watchmen?
Yes.
Okay, so now I know not to see it.
Yeah. Oh, are they similar, do you think, Roger?
No, totally
I really
different.
Hated The Watchmen.
Do you like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
Love that. I love any of his stuff.
It's
Guy Ritchie?
Oh, yeah.
No, not Guy Ritchie. It's, what's his name, Vaughn?
Oh. Guy Ritchie was Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Roger?
What you talking about? You all
Matthew,
confused.
What did Matthew Vaughn do?
That's why we have a chat room for these sorts of things.
That, I always call them my brain.
Yeah.
They're quite
effective. Mind.
The hive
no,
mind.
He did. Yeah. I'm sorry. He did Layer Cake. Sorry.
I didn't see Layer Cake.
Ah. You missed Layer Cake?
Wait a minute. Let me just pull up my iPad Netflix application and add it.
And watch it.
I could actually watch it. I mean, we're not doing anything, are we?
Oh, no. He was the executive producer of Lock, Stock.
But Guy Ritchie directed. I like Guy Ritchie's style, which is why I like Sherlock Holmes a lot. I know nobody else did.
He did Stardust and Layer Cake.
Okay, I haven't seen either, so I'm going to add Layer Cake to my Netflix queue.
A lot of violence, a lot of shooting, but it's fun.
Do you recommend the comics?
Yes, it's also not for kids.
Right, this is none of this is
for kids. Is this available on the iPad? A seasoned British drug dealer, Daniel Craig, see, I love him, longs to ditch his illegal trade, but he can't do that without wrapping up just one more job. There's so many movies around the just one more theme.
Yeah.
Just one more job.
That's a life. That's a life thing, isn't it?
Is
it? I just need one more big account, and then I'm done, or I need to do one last score. Concert. I need
it's
to make
what makes
one
you continue to play Godfinger in Farmville. Is
true.
You're just going to make one more.
Sorry, one more last thing.
Yeah, one more harvest.
So I've added Layer Cake to the top of my queue. It does not have instant play, alas. Don't you hate that now when you go to Netflix? And
when something doesn't have instant
doesn't
play,
have instant play.
It's totally frustrating now.
I want to watch it now.
Actually, what annoys me is certain movies are on instant play, and then 3 months later, they're not anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's the Stars stuff, I think.
A lot of it is the Stars stuff, yeah.
That's temporary.
It's that old model of Netflix being treated like an HBO, where they get a movie for a while, and then they have to let it go. Well, because of Stars, right?
Silly.
All right, well, folks, thanks for listening to East Meets West. You can comment. We didn't get to any comments this week. I apologize. There's some good stuff in there, though. Go read it, subbrilliant.com/EMW. You can make your comments right there. I'll be gone next week, either to Spain or Hawaii, depending on what the ash cloud decides. I've put my fate in the volcanic ash. It's in the volcano's hands now.
Cast your fate to the
wind. I feel very tribal all of a sudden, that the volcano decides.
The volcano god has decided.
Well, maybe you're just coming to realization that not everything in life can be controlled by man's intentions.
Right. I love it when this happens because it really does humble us, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Just this little thing and all of a sudden, that's it.
Yep.
You can't fly.
You know
can't
what
fly
does it to me is when the power goes out.
Yep.
When you don't have power for more
than
several hours, you've like, holy crap, I can't do a lot of the things I want to do.
Yep. Yeah. Changes everything. But Roger, you're going to have a special guest on East Meets West next week, right?
Yes, I am hoping to get Aileen from October Toys on. She's agreed. I just need to figure out how I need to post the show.
Oh, okay.
We can help you with that.
Yeah, we can figure that part out. That's easy.
We have people to do that.
Not a problem. And of course, within 2 weeks, Roger has seen Hangover, so maybe we can try to get Odakta back on for the rematch of their debate of Hangover versus Hot Tub Time Machine.
Still like Hot Tub Time Machine better. Sorry.
Oh, God.
What's wrong with Hot Tub Time Machine?
I haven't seen it. Just the concept.
Right.
A bunch of dudes piling into an oversized bathtub that takes them back through time. I mean, come on.
What's
not to love?
What could possibly be wrong with that?
So brilliant.com/EMW. Thanks to Leo for letting us be on the Twit Network every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Thanks to Jammer B for producing. And thanks to all of you for watching and listening. And thanks to Roger for being here through 203 episodes.
Woohoo!
We'll see you next time.
Bye.